The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. All right, John.
Yes, good, thank you.
And John, you've just literally flown in from Ghana, right? And I've been chatting to you today. Well, okay, what should we talk about this week? And you sound drunk with tiredness. Well, you've come across, is it the red eye? How long have you been flying for?
Actually, it's a six-hour flight, so it's not long. But because of that, you know, you land very early at Heathrow, so they wake you up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, which is very annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know why you can't land and sleep for a bit longer on the plane.
Because they've got another flight, John. It's a business, you see. People have to get on the plane, get off. That's how they make their money, kind of sleeping on the plane on the tarmac.
Shocking idea.
I know. When you flew to Ghana, normally to get to the airport from where you are doing stuff, you're doing your business, is a long journey, isn't it? So how far from the airport were you in Ghana?
That all worked very well because we stayed next to the airport, and then we flew early morning up to go and see Goldstone at Kumasi. Mm. And yes, it's a long day because we're up at 4 a.m. and then we are coming back at, in fact, we got the earlier flight, so came back at about 6. Okay. But it's, yeah, you cover a lot of ground in a day, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I know you've been to Atlantic Lithium, Goldstone Resources, and those are the two you've been visiting on there. I mean, anything else? Obviously, you stick to the daytime stuff. Nighttime stuff is not.
Well, there was another one called CAA Mining, which is private.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which is also looking for lithium, in the south of Ghana. So it all comes together. It's all looking very good.
So tell us about Atlantic Lithium then. What's been going on there? What have you got to? And anything you can share with us at all that wouldn't contravene any regulations?
Well, the official news this week was that Keith Muller joined the board as CEO. He was CEO, so he's now joined the board. He's a mining engineer. He's an expert in dense media separation and process the processing of spodumene to create spodumene concentrate. He's been doing that in Australia. So he's the guy who's charged with the job of organizing everything and building that mine. Mm-hmm. And Atlantic Lithium are being backed by Pierre de Mont, big American refinery company. And we're just waiting for the mining license to come from the Ministry of Mines.
Yeah.
So that they can press the button, start spending the money and getting it all into place. Now there's a certain amount of engineering work that needs to be planned, and there's a few things that I'll be discussing with them, just, you know, from a normal sort of ESG health and safety perspective, just to ensure that everything's in place. But from our view of the site, the geology is all there. It all looks good. The drilling is going great guns. They had a fantastic reverse circulation drilling machine operating 24/7, thanks to a contractor called Geodrill, and they certainly got more than enough lithium in spodumene to drill out, or they've proven that they've got it, and now it's just a question of how they process it and move it about. But it's lithium is fairly simple compared to a lot of other commodities, so I see Atlantic as substantially undervalued, and now that we've had a look at all the assets, it looks fairly straightforward.
Yeah, and it's starting to sort of recover from that, you know, that short sell scare that they had. Because of course, also joining the board was Patrick Brindle, wasn't it? He's currently a non-exec, but he's executive vice president and chief operating officer of Piedmont Lithium, which is NASDAQ listed, of course. But the share price starting to rally back from that low. It hit 20p. And now it's about 32, of course. That was from almost 40p. It's getting back there to normal, you know?
Yes, and but I think it's got a lot further to go. I see it as a solid company. I mean, I know we can never say something's just going up, because if the whole sector collapses for some other reason, then everything, you know, even the good stocks come down. But in this case, I think Atlantic is very well set for value creation on a longer term basis.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I mean, why would the whole sector collapse? Because lithium, because of long-term demand there. Of course, if we're talking about macro, I mean, China, of course, has a massive influence over commodities and resources and stuff like that. And so we had some figures out in the week, didn't we, which shook the markets a little bit. I think on Wednesday, the Chinese composite PMI came out and their manufacturing PMI, and this was the official one. So explain. So this is the official one. Manufacturing PMI came in at 48.8. Now, of course, below that 50 level is contraction, and it was expected to come in at 51.4. So below expectations and below 50, which is a little worrying. And then Caxing came out. Explain the difference, John. Caxing manufacturing PMI.
Well, look, I'm not an economist, so I'm not entirely sure what I don't really know what the difference is. It seems unusual for the official numbers to be lower than the Caxing, but I would expect the
Caxing. Yeah, normally Caxing, are they from outside China? Caxing are more, people assume is more accurate because the official figures, of course, are put out by the government. But it's odd at this point that Caxing are more bullish. They come in at 50.9. Was above the forecast of 50.3. So normally it's the way around, isn't it? The governments, you think, that would manipulate the figures to a more bullish outlook, you know?
Well, I think it suits China to manipulate everything down a bit at the moment because they're trying hard to control their inflation. And in fact, within China, they've done a fantastic job of that. And I just wonder if the Caxing numbers are a bit more up to date and that there is a turnaround. And a 1.1 point difference in these figures is actually a pretty big number. And we have heard that stuff in Japan and Asia is really getting going again. And when we were looking at electric vehicle sales numbers, they were poor in January and February. Hmm. But in March, they were selling about 500,000 EVs in the month. And if you added that up, Europe was about 300,000. And I'm sure the US would have been something over 200,000. So that says to me that electric vehicle sales are back up to where they were at the peak last year and probably going higher. So, yes, certain incentive schemes have fallen away. But when that happened, Tesla dropped prices. I'm sure other people have dropped prices as well. When these big companies produce products like cars, they are very, very good at selling them. And they will always find a way of making those sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's dig into the other company you mentioned there, Goldstone Resources. Explain what they do, John, for people not familiar, and what's happening there.
Goldstone have a relatively small gold mining project in Ghana. It's quite nice. They've had a bit of trouble with it, but we weren't there so much with the management. We were kind of there with the engineering team who were putting everything together. Mm-hmm. And those guys seem to be doing a great job, actually. These are people who build stuff themselves. And they're very confident in what they can do. In fact, they're hugely experienced people who've worked with each other over the years. And that looks like there's some interesting stuff to come from management when they decide what they feel they can say to the market.
Yeah. Okay. And so engineering and management, do they have the same view essentially, or do they is one more bullish than the
other? Well, in some companies, management can be more promotional, and then usually they learn their lessons. And we all know it's better to under-promise and over-deliver.
Yeah, always. Absolutely, because, like I said, it's always nice to see, when management almost, be more conservative and they come up with great figures. And that, to me, instills a bit of trust in the management. They're not trying to ramp it. I prefer that.
Well, it's reality, and the engineers will tell you what the capacity of something is. Mm. But at the end of the day, they're not factoring in the fact that you might stop for a few days because of a broken circuit board, or you need to ship in a tire from somewhere. Mm-hmm. So experience says, let's put a bit of margin in here because stuff happens, unfortunately. But we do. I mean, certainly from what we've seen, there's good potential for things to go better.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so Anglo-Asian, AAAZ, ticker. What's happening there?
Yeah, they're a smart company and always doing good things. They've been drilling at a project called Gilar, and they've extended the higher grade mineralization into some deeper zones. And yeah, look, this is a company that is going to transform itself from being a gold producer into being more of a copper producer. And the results from Gilar, I mean, the main thing here is they are very high grade results. So 51 meters at 1.93 grams per ton is a good gold grade. And that combined with 1.36% copper is a good copper grade as well. And having the two together is fantastic news. So there's a series of results here, and I've got the best five of those in front of me, and they look very good numbers. And this is all something that is easy to get into and start mining. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. the company started developing the portal for that. We saw that when we were out there a couple of months ago. And that works well. The company, it works in partnership with the government, and it's a very supportive system that they work with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? The share price is starting to rally, isn't it? Literally, you know, if you go back at the high in January 2021, was at 180, and since then it dropped to like 62 pence in October 2022, and since then that was the low, and it's starting to rally. Broke up above 50-day moving average, above the 200-day moving average, and now we're at 99 pence. And in fact, you've got that golden cross, John, which is the 50-day moving average crossing up over the 200-day moving average, which is significant of a sort of uptrend. So it's looking like the start of a new uptrend here, you know, hopefully.
Well, fundamentally, I think when you see results like this, you know there's just more value in the ground to be extracted, and that's the key fundamental.
Yeah. I tell you, stock you've mentioned a couple of times previously, and I did think of you actually. Was it Monday? I think it was Monday when the bank holiday Monday. Yeah, I was thinking of you Monday, John, when I was having a drink. So, you know, that's one of my best thoughts, just thinking of you on a bank holiday. You know, I was thinking of you when the market was open. Was it Tuesday when Empire Metals released some news? You know, my dream guy on a bank holiday. Oh, sit back and think of John. No, so on Tuesday, up 64% Empire Metals. And you've talked about them quite a bit. So what was the news that delivered this, you know, crazy rise, John?
Well, I was sorry I missed the news because I was out in Ghana at the time, but they've been drilling at Pitfield in Australia. Mm. It's a relatively new project for them. And they're looking for what they call a giant copper deposit. And apparently the term giant is a geological term for a type of large-scale copper deposit. I mean, it's not that they're just trying to ramp it. It is actually a geological term. But, in fact...
If you're looking for a copper deposit, you want to look for a giant one. You know, you don't go for a midget, do you? You know,
and, that's right. but you don't mind so long as it's high-grade, but... The funny thing is, they've discovered what they call high grade titanium, and there's copper there as well. So this is something that's new to me from a geological perspective. But having good titanium grades, they're talking about grades ranging from 4 to 10% titanium oxide, and having copper with that. I don't see any copper grades right now, but this actually is really quite interesting. So I think the market was getting quite excited about this on Tuesday, and I think we just need a bit more time to figure out, well, exactly what is this going to be worth. And that one drill hole doesn't make a project, but it's a very, very good start.
Yeah. So what do you mean, what was new to you from a geological standpoint here? What was new here?
Well, I haven't come across titanium with copper before.
Okay.
So they describe it as an intense alteration of hydrothermal fluid. So I'm guessing that, well, it's in a sedimentary system. So something must have carried either titanium, what would have been a titanium beach sand, probably, from one area to another, and mixed it in with some copper mineralization from somewhere else, because it's hosted in sedimentary rocks. Or maybe the sedimentary rocks just have titanium, either in, well, it won't be in hard rock form because they're sedimentary. It'll be in, it would have been a beach sand of some sort, which then will have consolidated. and then perhaps there's an infusion of copper that's been trapped within that structure. That's I'm guessing. I need to talk to management and figure out exactly how this has occurred, because once you understand how a project has been formed geologically, you've built up a much better picture of, well, where it might go.
God, do you know what, John? We've touched it. I love it when you get into the depths of your knowledge there on geology and so that, because you lost me, really, but I was listening intently. But yeah, so when you saw this, when you read that then, when you first saw this, did you think, wow, that's interesting? Or do you think, what? You know, what was your initial reaction when you said, I've never seen that before? I mean, were you so curious about it, or did you think, that is very interesting?
Well, my first reaction was just to laugh, because I thought, well, that's not what they were looking for. But, but no, I'm very happy, because I bought shares in Empire in the last placing. I mean, I do like the management. I do feel that there is a reasonable chance in exploration terms. That doesn't mean it's a huge... It doesn't mean that it's definitely going to discover anything. But if you follow good management, you should get a good result sooner or later.
Yeah, but what's interesting, John? I mean, how old are you? 32, 31?
I think you need to add a decade or two there.
Well, let's add a decade or two. And let's say that. But I mean, the amount of time you've been looking at, you know, RNSs come up with, you know, drill hole results, and that you still see something new. That's quite surprising, that you'd still see a mixture here, like I say, copper and titanium, and that's new to you. I mean, I thought there wouldn't be anything sort of new really anymore. So that's quite interesting, isn't it?
There are so many variables in geology and the way the Earth has moved everything around and mixed things up that, yes, often things are even if things are kind of similar to other things, they're often still there's still new characteristics. And we sat down with the exploration team from BHP in February and chatted through a few projects with them. And their view was the next big discovery will be something very new, very unexpected, and very different to everybody's geological model. And I've chatted this through with a number of experts in the sector, and they agree. I mean, often things are quite new.
What was spread? I mean, do they have any idea what it could be? Or, you know, I mean, we're not going to discover any new minerals, are we, or elements, or you know, so what would it be? What are they talking about?
Well, I'm sure there still are new minerals to be discovered, and maybe even new elements. I mean, once in a while they'll come across something. There are a whole series of things that are quite well known, porphyry copper deposits, which are sort of hot lumps, usually of some kind of granite. They create a hot system. That drives hydrothermal fluids, hot fluids, which pick up metals and other commodities, and then those as those fluids are pressurized, they find weak spaces to go into, and then sometimes they find an area where the pressure is less, and they drop the metals into those areas, and those are fairly standard types of geological structure. Others are things like roll front uranium. I mean, where fluids are just moving through the ground naturally, and then they tend to concentrate at a certain roll front point. And I mean, we could talk for days on how deposits are formed, but it's one of the things that makes the work that we do so interesting. I trained as a mining engineer, not as a geologist, but I still find this side of the business very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can understand why. Marvellous stuff. Well, thanks for that, John. And I don't think it's a bank holiday this week, is this? But are you off anywhere in the next week, or are you back home now for a while?
I'm back home, but I'm sending somebody off in a week or two on another site visit. But I'm going to keep my feet in the UK for a week or two.
Yeah, I assume that's something you don't want to do, is it? Just send somebody else off. Yeah, I don't want to. Off you go. That's probably a civil war going on in the country. You could go visit that one, yeah? Okay. Speak next week, John.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.